good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Y'all already see that I got this morning the agenda up because we are not playing any games today. You can't even see me. You see the agenda because we're going to talk about it. But let's go ahead and get my sound effects queued up because I am so tired of people lying and playing games around here. Okay. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Welcome to Morning Tea and Allegations. This is your host, Bianca Goolsbee. And I'm so excited that you're here. For those of you that will catch the replay or are listening to this in the podcast version, hello, I love you. Thank you for being here, supporting Morning Tea and Allegations. And for those of you that are watching live, don't be rude. Say something in the comments. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, period. So we have an action-packed agenda. Okay, period. There's some people. Y'all just need to go ahead and tag your friends, tag your neighbors, your church members, whoever. Tag them in here because we're talking about something that is very, very important. Okay. We have a whole slate. Okay. Good morning. Good morning to you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Amen. Amen. Okay. So let's look at the morning tea and allegations agenda. All right. We have church announcements. We are talking about the Sarasota congressional candidate that was caught in 4K. Mm-hmm. We are talking about the Don't Say Gay walkout and protest. And how Ronnie won't let us alone, what that actually means. We're talking about several states that have launched an investigation into TikTok. And of course, I'm always going to close with talking about how are the children. And I just want to know how are the children? Mm-hmm. So parents, okay. I'm seeing teachers going live talking about, you know, the end of the quarter, how grades are due, and your kids are asking for extra credit. Now, my question is, why haven't they been doing the regular credit? Mm-hmm. And so, again, parents, caregivers of children that are in school, what we're not going to do is continue to hold these teachers to a standard that you are not upholding in your own household. Okay? So your children that are out here not doing their assignments and now want to blame the teacher and say that the teacher hasn't graded their assignments, that's cap. Now wait, now let me go back though. There are some teachers that do not, you know, grade on time. So there's that. But most of these educators are on it where they don't want to be spending their time over the weekends at night grading papers, okay? So it is important that you are intentional about your children. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good morning to you. Ron says hello, and he's glad that you're not wearing a mask. Oh boy, this comment just sets us up for our conversation today, okay? So let's go ahead and start with our church announcements. You already know how we do it here. So let's go ahead and do that. So we have the USF 5K for Education. The rally is held on March 26, 2022. Please make sure that you register. And I'm going to go ahead and put our link up here. Register for the 5K bit.ly/TFTC5K. Okay. Please register for the 5K. It's important. Funds are being collected to help education, especially with the University of South Florida and the amazing work that they do there. Okay. I'm always going to shout out ExpressVPN. This is how I'm able to travel and see different countries in the way that they see it on social media. In addition, it also protects your IP address. And that is a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. Let's also talk about, you know what? I just realized that I have the People Live receipts down up here and not the church announcements. Wow. Wow. I can't believe I did that. Oh, but it's still facts. People I receive don't. Moving forward, I just want to talk about Canva because you already know I'm going to, you know, rap for Canva. So I have a link, a partner link, man. If you're interested in getting Canva, getting a free pro trial, like do it. It's worth it. I'm telling you, get Canva. This is how I'm able to do the designs and everything that I do with Morning Tea and Allegations. Amen. So get involved with Canva. If you're a creative, do it. Period. The next thing I want to just talk about is if you have an event that you want to shout out on Teaching for the Culture, there's a lot of people that tune in. And I'm going to be very honest with you. There's some people that tune into Morning Tea and Allegations after the fact because they think that I have the capacity to watch who is watching it while it's live. So I'm just want to just like just put this disclaimer out here, folks. Okay. When I'm live, I don't see who signs in anymore. It's way too many platforms I'm streaming to now. I can't keep up. So if you are intentionally waiting to after I broadcast to come on to think that I'm not going to know you saw it, I'm not checking to see if you saw it anyway. But I will say that them views go up after I go live. So there's that. So I just want to just put that out there. And so the next church announcement, it's a lot of them, folks. So I hope y'all taking notes and paying attention. Your girl has a tip line, okay? I just want to thank community for approving my application. And so, yeah, you got some tea. You got some receipts. Text it to me, okay? Send it to me. Period, poo. All right? So that's my number, 813-491-9365, okay? Make sure that you send me some receipts. You text me. And that's how we gonna do it. So this the tip line, the snitch line, however you want to call it. But that's my number. You could text me, okay? I've always made myself accessible. So for the folks that say that they've tried to contact me, they a lie. Because I put my number and my information on these socials for a reason. So if you want to give us a call, though, that number is 813-400-3311. Again, just pick up the phone. Amen. Now, let's move forward because there's a last bit of church announcements and disclaimers that I need to play before we start with today's broadcast. And so let's roll the clip because I'm telling you, people lie, receipts don't, and I'm not about to play with y'all this morning. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. All right. So, amen to that. So, let's go ahead and talk about this congressional candidate that got caught in 4K, okay? And so, let's go ahead and just share this video with you. I'm starting at timestamp 2 minutes and 9 seconds. Okay. Where we're starting at is where the officer had already pulled over this congressional candidate, Martin Hyde. Okay. And again, he's running for Congress in Sarasota, just so that y'all can be aware of that. Okay. So this is Tampa Bay, folks, we're talking about. Okay. Now, he was pulled over because he was speeding. Okay. He was not going the speed limit. Also, he was texting and driving. Okay. So he got caught. So where I'm starting this clip is where the police pulled him over, advised him of his rights, requested his license and registration. And then she received some initial threats, right? Now, if you want to watch the full clip, I'm going to put the link in the comment so that you can do that on your own time. However, I do want to watch part of this with you because we need to have a conversation about it. So let's roll it.
Call the supervisor. I just spoke to your boss.
You want your paperwork?
Is it your Russian immigrant status that makes you think to people like this?
10-14-6.
Call the supervisor.
14 dispatch, can you have my supervisor respond, please?
Yeah. And then we'll see who goes.
Yeah. You don't want your paperwork?
6142.
You don't have any warrants.
Sir, you're going to be issued a citation.
In everything you have to say. I'll wait for the supervisor.
You can wait for the supervisor, but I'm going to go through what I need to go through.
No, I have no interest.
All right, you are going to be issued a
citation. This is the registration.
Okay. Well, you've been already issued a citation for that.
For what?
For failing to produce your registration.
This is right.
All right. Sure, you're going to... You're going to be issued a citation 57 and a 40 for speeding. The fine is 256. Information in the back. You're going to have an option to plead guilty. An option to plead not guilty and an option to take a safe driver's course. If you qualify for the course, it will reduce your fine. And it will reduce your points. If you decide to go ahead and do that, just make sure you do a prior to submission of payment.
You know what he said about you? You want to hear what he said about you?
He could say all he wants about me. I got a job to do, sir.
Yeah. You know what he said about you?
If you fail to complete...
You like this. Okay. And he's going to have you again.
And that's fine.
It's not fine. What you keep saying is fine.
Sir?
I'm a law-abiding citizen. You're being bloody rude to me.
If you decide to go ahead and do the course, just make sure you do a prior to submission of payment, as they
do
require a certificate of completion. If you sign up for it, you must complete. Otherwise, they will go ahead and suspend your license. You are going to be issued a citation for texting and driving. Okay? You are going to be issued a citation for texting and driving. Your fine is 116. Information in the back. You're going to have an option to plead guilty and an option to plead not guilty. You are going to be issued a citation for failure to provide your registration upon request. Your fine is 116. Information in the back. You plead guilty or not guilty.
You're lying.
Green paper.
You're lying.
Green paper tells you have 30 days to replay.
Why are you lying?
You have 30 days to reply.
Why are you lying?
Your payment options are on the green form.
Why lie?
Phone number on the bottom in case you have any questions. When my supervisor comes, I'll wait for him if you like me to. Your citation is already.
You have
something. I will wait. I will wait, but I will wait in my car. There you go.
You have the bad.
Sir, step back into your car or stand on the sidewalk so you don't get hit by a vehicle. It's for your safety. 14 right here. Can I have another unit respond? Sir, stand over there. It's for my safety and for your safety. Sir? 10-4, the driver being extremely uncooperative.
10-4.
Yes, Arch.
Are you anywhere closer?
I can't. He won't let me leave until a supervisor shows up. Martin Hyde. I just gave him 3 tickets.
Okay.
Yes. Bye. Speeding 57 and a 40, text in while driving, and failure to produce his registration because he told me I could look it up. And he's going to have my job. Everything is on camera. All righty. Bye.
Right. So, these are the people that are running for office. And so, again, you know, so we wait for, call it for backup. Okay. The sergeants come, they have a conversation, try to appease him, and basically misrepresents what was caught in 4K. Now, I just want to be very, very clear on this. This is not the first time Martin High has been caught in 4K. Okay. And let's just talk about his campaign report. So he's currently running for Congress, and he has loaned his campaign over $160,000. Okay, follow the money. And he has spent most of that money consulting with former President Donald Trump and Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, after he got caught in 4K, And to your point, sis, yeah. Of course, you know, the news is going to only show a snippet. That's why I have the link in the comments. So if you want to watch the full video, I think it's a little over 15 minutes. The receipts are there for you to look at it. Okay. And anybody else that wants to look at it and look at this thing, because again, at the video, if you watch the video, he misrepresents what happened to the supervisors. And again, all of this was caught on 4K. But back to his campaign report. He spent a lot of his money consulting with Donald Trump and Roger Stone. And ultimately, Trump endorsed someone else. So that is just a big L for him because, you know, you spend all this money trying to appease Donald Trump and all that stuff. And look now. You got three tickets and people looking at you sideways because this is not the first time. Now, of course, after this hit the news, he wanted to issue an apology slash non-apology. And so let's actually show you that because that's very, very interesting to watch. So let's go ahead and roll it.
You threatened her position. Why did you do that?
I tried to bully her. I mean, I'm not proud of it. She knew. And if you watch the video, the other cops, when they came up and said, you know who that is too. And the reason they said that isn't because I'm important, but because they know I've spent hundreds of hours working on behalf of causes for Sarasota Police Department, for its pay, for officers' discipline, to help them out. And therein lies the irony. My own son, my oldest son, is a deputy sheriff. And so this isn't a question of Martin Hyde disliking cops. This is a question of Martin Hyde being in a ratty mood on a Monday morning and acting in a way that he regrets. But I am sorry. I'd like to think that I'll learn from it. I'd like to think other people might learn something from it too. Nobody wants to see themselves in a swimsuit if they're overweight, and nobody wants to see themselves losing their cool. And I don't know that in isolation, if it wasn't that I was running for public office, that anybody would have any great interest, because it's really a dog chases cat story, except for the political aspect. I think people need to get a little bit of perspective. While I'm sorry, and while I accept that it shouldn't have happened, there are many, many worse things that happen all over the world every single day. And part of the reason I'm running is to make sure that we live in a better world. So I got to do my part, and I accept that.
No.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you have it, folks. An apology, none apology. You said it, white privilege, right? Now, before I move on to my next topic, though, I just have to express my thoughts on this. Now, any other time, let's just say a black man or a black woman is stopped by the police and it turns into a deadly shooting. Usually the response is why they didn't comply. Why couldn't Martin Hyde comply? The officer was very professional. She was very nice. She kept her composure, and we have to give her a round of applause for dealing with that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the level of emotional intelligence that she exhibited needs to be a training for the rest of these officers that are ready to go 0 to 100 because their ego. So if you see him still running for office, you know who not to vote for. Let's move on. So we're talking about Ronnie. Oh, I did the wrong thing, y'all. See, look, I keep hitting stuff. So we are talking about Ronnie won't let us alone. Okay. Let's go ahead and roll the clip.
You do not have to wear those masks. I mean, please take them off. Honestly, it's not doing anything, and we got to stop with this COVID theater. So if you want to wear it, fine, but this is ridiculous.
All right. Well, it's good to be at USF.
You know, of course, people, you know, fact checked his statement and, you know, it turns out to be false. Right. We know that the fact that we are still here talking about what's effective, not effective when people are dying, people are getting sick is getting to a vital point where like we deserve better leadership, because this is not leadership. So of course, you know, this clip, you know, went viral. There were conversations that took place. Even Superintendent Addison Davis issued a statement, and I will post those receipts in the comments so that you can see what he stated. But he's basically said he was proud of the kids representing and that they have a choice whether they want to wear a mask or not. And so I thank you, Addison Davis, for standing firm, because I know in some cases when it's against Ron DeSantis, you church mouse quiet. So the fact that you, you know, spoke up and supported your students when this happened speaks volumes. So Addison Davis, I give you a round of applause for that, just because I just thank you. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, I asked my folks over there, how did they feel about the press secretary posting and tweeting this? This is a meme that she posted in response to the viral video. Now, if you don't know who this person is, Christina is the press secretary of the governor. She is responsible for the communications that happen with the governor, to the people, for the people. That's her job. And this is what she tweeted. So, you know, I just want to know from y'all, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the press secretary that is responsible for communicating on behalf of the state and the governor tweeting these type of memes? Right? It's inappropriate. It's not right. And this is not the first time nor the last time she will continue her antics. And this is why I say we have to hold folks accountable, because enough is enough. Okay. So, yeah, let me know in the comments. Message me and see. Unprofessional. Yep. You know, it's interesting how he, you know, was bullying those kids to remove their mask. But yet, now help me here. I'm going off track. But help me here. Now, when we had the parental rights and conversations about how we have to have parental rights and children have the option to wear a mask or not wear a mask, and they should be able to feel free to do that and not be bullied, not be talked about, and all that stuff. But yet you come on here on this platform and misrepresent the effectiveness of a device that is being used to help save lives. I just sit with that. Now, of course, you know, when things go viral, people have to respond. And so I just find it interesting that the very next day, our Florida Surgeon General, which I have a whole nother commentary on that I'm just going to move past. But the Florida Surgeon General gets up on a platform and says this. Let's roll the clip.
You know, it's hard to find these in Florida. You got to look hard. But, you know, if you know where to look, you can find them. So I brought this, right? So, unfortunately, we have a country right now where most people, including, I mean, this is across the political spectrum, think that these things are saving lives. So, in medicine, in science, we have something called levels of evidence, okay? And we've got our high-level evidence and lower levels of evidence. And our highest level of evidence are clinical trials. So to the doctors who tell you that these things save lives, ask them, you know, what did the two randomized clinical trials that we've done during the pandemic, what did they show? Ask them that when they tell you that these things save lives. One found nothing, zero benefit. The other found a small benefit, like a tiny benefit that's, you know, that's a little bit methodologically shaky. And by the way, none of them found a benefit in young people. Not a single one found a benefit in young people. That's the highest quality evidence. That's what it showed.
Mm. You are fake news.
Let's move forward, because my energy is shifted with just talking about these people. But it gets worse. So Ron DeSantis, while our president, President Biden, was addressing the union with everything that was going on, Ron DeSantis decided that he wanted to tweet a message. And so this is the message that he tweeted. Let us alone. This is not the first time that this image has appeared and that he's used this image. He actually was at a press conference in December of 2021, where he actually was announcing his desire of having his own military force. And this is a picture of that press conference. So let's go back though. Let's go back, because let's go back to the history of Let Us Alone and how it was used in the 1840s as the proposed version of the first state flag in Florida when they entered the Union. There's a history, folks, that you need to be aware of in the state of Florida. It's very interesting that the governor of the quote unquote freest state in the country is waving a pro-slavery flag. And this is why we need to teach Black history. This is why we need to teach history. This is why we have to teach the truth. So you want receipts on this? I got it for you, baby. Don't you worry. So there is a document that I'm trying to pull up because I thought I had it up. I thought I was ready to go, y'all, but it's okay. That's why this is live and popping. But let me get it up real quick. It is The Politics of Slavery and the Secession in Antebellum Florida. Okay, let me go ahead and share that with you here. Okay. This is a 117-page document that is published in the University of Central Florida's library. I'm not going to go through the whole document with you, but what I will say is that this is a very important resource that y'all need to know about the history in this state, the quote-unquote freest state in the nation. Yet, you have a governor that is promoting my energy shifting, y'all. This hurts me because I just feel like we keep moving backwards. We're not moving forward. And these culture wars and these bills that no one asked for, that's not helping anyone. This is why it's important that people are involved in politics. And I will be very honest and say there was a time where I wasn't involved because I knew it was messy. There was narratives that was created in me that can form confirmation bias that did not want me to be a part. But that does not. We have to. These narratives about people not being involved, we have to stop that and we have to get involved. We have to speak life into situations. We have to hold people accountable that are in office, that are serving us, serving the people, for the people, by the people. That's exactly what we've been talking about. We are making steps backwards in America, in Florida, because we're having culture wars, because we are trying to fight with control, power, greed, ego, capitalism, and I can continue to go on and on, but it's not on my agenda. So let's move on. I just think that it's sad that with all of this stuff going on, you have the governor that will do press conferences to double down, to shift narratives, but that's not all. This is not just happening in Florida, but this is happening across the nation. So I need y'all to buckle up. Now, yesterday, yesterday, Ronnie tried it again. He can't leave us alone, let us alone. So he's going after these congressional maps. So while Florida lawmakers were discussing the state's new proposed congressional map on Friday, the governor tweeted, while they're there, while they're working, and he tweets to tell them that he plans to veto any plan that's being debated. The interesting part is that Republican lawmakers actually stood by their work when they created these maps. And it appears that Ronnie was pushing to break up two Black access districts in North Florida and Orlando, something that the courts have already said that he can't do, but yet he's still here. And so if Ronnie actually vetoes the maps, CNN reported that the legislators could override him with 2/3 vote. Now, after all of that work was done, Ronnie can't leave it alone. He can't leave y'all alone. And so while I was preparing for this episode, Senator Chevron Jones had posted his comments yesterday about how the governor was trying to diminish the Black and Hispanic access seats. So let's go ahead and roll the clip and let me share that with you.
We will go to debate. Is there any debate? Senator Jones, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. And thank you so much to Chair Rodriguez for the work that you previously did on this bill that we in this chamber that we voted for because Senator Rodriguez, Jay, Jason, and the entire team, they made sure that we were following the law. And the fact that we are here right now over a fight because the governor does not like the maps in an unprecedented approach coming and wanting to insert himself in map drawing. When we in this body wanted to follow the rules and do the right thing. And Mr. President, you made it clear in the beginning of session that we were going to do things right. We were going to do things based off the Constitution. And the fact that we are here right now because the governor wants to tweet this morning that the map is dead on arrival, which I believe is inappropriate. It's inappropriate. When we come up here with our families, we don't come up here to be threatened by the governor when we all unanimously, bipartisan, sent those maps and said, this is what our maps look like. I believe that we did what was right. We as a body came together and said those individuals who drew those maps, who's sitting right over there, took their time to draw these maps to be legal and constitutional. And I think if the governor wants to veto the map, let him veto it. But we came together to do the right thing, and so be it.
Is there any additional debate?
Yeah, so the governor that is deciding that, you know, he wants to tweet while lawmakers are working to create a hostile working environment is problematic, is unprofessional. And why he won't let us alone is beyond me. And he won't let us alone with these LGBTQ situations and conversations. So let's move on to the next topic. The next topic is about the Don't Say Gay protest at the Capitol. Now, this bill is problematic because the verbiage and the way that it was intentionally created was done as an attack. And it was done in a way where it was not forthright. The bill could be better. There were several amendments that were filed on this bill to make it better that were all turned down. So across the state, students walked out their classrooms to protest this bill. Some students in Tallahassee actually walked out their classrooms and actually went to the Capitol. So I want to roll a clip of some of our children protesting at the Capitol.
Don't
there's pictures all over Twitter and Instagram and TikTok of children protesting. There's even children that were retaliated against and or were suspended for organizing a protest. That's all public on the internet that you can do your own research about. But for those of you that don't know, this bill is actually on the Senate floor on Monday. So there is an opportunity to kill this bill, to be intentional with the verbiage of this bill. Please contact your state senators. And I ask, do y'all know who your state senators are? And if you don't, then this is a great opportunity to look. You need to know the people that are making decisions on behalf of you and future generations. So please, please, there are so many resources out here for you to find out this information. So please do your part and please do research, because in this vital time in democracy, our democracy is at stake. And I'm going to tell you that these devices right here are a big part of the problem. So speaking of the cell phones being part of the problem, there were tweets that was made by a United States senator. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And it is a very sad and problematic situation. I truly don't think that people are realizing the intended and unintended consequences of this global conflict. And I send prayers to everyone that is involved. And in this vital time of global conflict, you had a U.S. Senator, Lindsey Graham, that tweeted that someone should assassinate the leader of Russia. So let's go ahead and share that with you. So this is what he tweeted. And I'm not going to actually say it out loud, because what I don't want is for YouTube to try to flag my video like they did on episode 3, saying it's misinformation when I got all these receipts right here. But anywho, okay. But YouTube has a whole bunch of foolishness up, but you're going to take my video down, but it's okay. It's okay. So for the people that are listening on the podcast version, you just going to have to watch the video or go to the website to see these receipts. But he literally made a call for someone to take him out. And that's not right. And so I go back to who's going to be held accountable for this type of content? This is still up on Twitter, folks. Twitter didn't take it down. Apparently, this doesn't violate their terms of service. So, of course, you had lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say, absolutely not. This is not appropriate. He shouldn't have did it. And so I just want to know where's the accountability here? But where's the accountability for the incidents and the events that led up to this? Because you had a formal president that believed Putin over the FBI. He wanted to leave NATO. He destroyed some of our alliances. He blackmailed and disarmed Ukraine. And he welcomed election interference. Which, speaking of election interference, I see a lot of donations to these Republican lawmakers that link to Russia. And it's just a shame how all of this is bringing stuff into the light. So I go back to say, folks, you need to be accountable. You need to be transparent and you need to operate with integrity. And that goes for everyone, especially our elected leaders that are tasked with public service. You have a duty to the people. And so you're getting money to influence these elections. And that's not right. It's not right at all. So I just wanted to speak about it. Now, let's shift gears a bit, because social media is always a topic that I end y'all with. And I just want to let y'all know that there are a group of state attorneys that are looking into whether TikTok is bad for teens, children, and young adults, and whether the executives at TikTok know about this. And I'm going to just go ahead and just skip to the chase, because TikTok executives do know about it. They do know about it when they saw a child harmed themselves and literally allowed that video to be live. They contacted the PR team before contacting the police. That happened. I reported on it a while ago. TikTok knows the dangers that people have on their platform. TikTok knows the copious amounts of misinformation, disinformation that's on their platform. And also, TikTok knows that their algorithm is biased. This is all known information. So I'm glad that these state attorneys are looking into this. They're having conversations. And even President Biden, during his State of Union address, he said, "We must hold social media accountable for the national experiment they're conducting on our children for profit." And I'm with him. A lot of my content has been centered around parents checking the cell phone, being intentional with who your children are following and the parasocial relationships that they're forming with people that they don't know. But I will tell you, parents, that the relationships that your children are forming with some of these people on social media supersede the relationship that they have with you. And that's something that you're going to have to sit with. That's something you're going to have to reflect on. And there's no shade or anything like that. But we have to stand in our truth in order to move forward. Some of your children will listen to what an influencer will say more than what you will say, because they have more trust in the influencer than they do with you. And that's just real facts. And so you have to evaluate if that's you as a parent or not. And if it don't apply to you, then it don't apply to you. But if it does apply to you, there's work that needs to be done in your household where, one, we have some safe spaces, and two, that your children feel comfortable having conversations with you, so they're not spilling their tea and their drama on Reddit and these diary pages and these shade room pages and literally causing a whole bunch of controversy in our classrooms, because that's what's happening. Okay. So the state attorneys that are looking into this, there's a coalition and they're kind of making like this national movement. So leading the investigation are the following states. You have California, Florida, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Nebraska, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Vermont. Okay, so I'm going to link the New York Times article so that you can read it yourself about the state's investigation. And also, I'm going to post this screen. I'm going to also post the link where the Attorney General in California announced this nationwide TikTok. Okay, fiasco. And I go back to you, parents. You got your children doing these dance moves and stuff on TikTok, and some of them are not even of age to even have a TikTok. So let's talk about that, right? You have children that are literally on the metaverse, and I can't wait to show y'all this video later. But you have children that are in the metaverse at 1 o'clock in the morning. I got a video that I'll be posting later today where I was on the metaverse, in the metaverse, whatever, at 1 o'clock in the morning, to see what type of conversations, what was happening at that time. And I go at different times and log it. And there's a whole Twitch stream that's going to be dedicated to it. But I have to build a supercomputer first, because streaming in the metaverse takes up a lot of resources on my computer. So that's just something that's in the works, just being transparent about it. But yeah, there was 13-year-olds that were in the metaverse at 1 o'clock in the morning. Parents, hello. So I go back to you. So you need to have conversations and making sure that these devices are not being used at times of night when they should be asleep. It was a weeknight. Okay. Your child should be asleep. 13 years old. That child is in middle school. What are they doing? And it was in a rap studio and he was trying to rap. They had, I ain't going to even tell you. You just going to have to watch the video to see it. But I go back to the social media piece and how it's important. And I'm always going to just rap to you about that because I'm very passionate about it. But there's also another side to this that I think that y'all don't recognize. So many people say, oh, well, if there's inappropriate content on social media, just flag it. It'll be taken down. Well, I just want you to realize that there is a whole algorithm that can't catch everything. And you have people that will manually screen it. And some of those people are dealing with PTSD. I have talked about this particular center in Tampa, Florida, that was closed down. And these employees have spoken out. They have broken their NDAs to speak the truth about this. And I just want to just highlight one of the whistleblowers that was explaining their experience working at this content moderation center in Tampa, Florida, right here in the Tampa Bay, folks. right here in our city, our block, Tampa. Okay? So let me go ahead and share this video with you, and let's talk about it for a bit.
Sorry.
Okay.
I just think about all the animals all the time. And that's what I'm still thinking about, even though I left.
Yeah. Do you remember the first video that you saw?
It was a video in a different language. And it was these two teenagers, and they came across an iguana on the street. And one of the kids grabbed the iguana by the tail, and they started to smash the iguana onto the ground. And you could just hear the iguana screaming. And that was one of the first videos I saw in that queue.
Yeah.
And they kept slamming the iguana onto the ground, and the iguana just kept screaming and screaming. And then screaming stopped, and it was just a bloody pile, and the kids were just laughing at the iguana.
Were you able to remove that video from Facebook?
No, since that video had no title and no caption, we were supposed to send it to a different queue for Spanish speaking. But I don't think there really was a Spanish speaking queue that was taking care of that.
Killing an animal on screen, uploading that to Facebook, at least while you worked there, that was okay.
That was okay. I just think about that. And we're not helping the animals either. We're not even humans. We're not even helping humans. I have seen videos of a babysitter choking a toddler to death and giving bloody noses to babies. And it stays and nobody does anything. And it's just there. It's always there. And you have to always look at it. You always see death every single day. You see pain and suffering. And it just makes you angry. Because they're not doing anything. And the stuff that does get deleted, it winds up back there anyway.
Maybe a psychological test would help because, you know, some people could handle certain things than others, and maybe they won't be affected with PTSD or any anxiety or whatever the case may be that could come from seeing this stuff over and over again.
How did you get through it during the day?
I ate. When you look at bad stuff all day, sometimes you just want to eat something sweet to make you feel better.
How else did you change while you were doing this work?
I was very snappy with everybody. I had night terrors like almost every night. I was only getting like an hour or two of sleep because I was just always thinking about the content, the videos, the pictures, the people and the animals that were basically, you know, their whole deaths were broadcast. Like the most cruel things imaginable. Just, it's there and it's allowed to be there.
A transparency moment. So as y'all know that I work to look at different social media pages to work with school districts to solve problems. And to flag content that's inappropriate, especially some of these shipping pages, these feet fetishes pages where children can't be children because they're always documented and recorded for social media for likes and views. And I still vividly recall where our team was flagging child pornography on Instagram. That happened at Hillsborough, that happened at Hillsborough High School. And a child was at another stall and literally put their phone over and was recording children engaging in sexual activity. And it was posted on Instagram. and it was up on Instagram for several days. Even after flagging it and intentionally stating that it's child pornography, it was still up there. I want to emphasize to parents, community members, caretakers that these devices, as much as we talk about how it's connecting us together, I want to just play devil's advocate here. It's dividing us more apart. We're having culture wars because people are literally being fed things intentionally through their algorithm. It is increasing confirmation bias, and that is a problem. And the problem is that we have local and elected leaders that use these same devices that we're talking about for their own twisted way of communicating with people. And it's not right. And so I go back to the people in the community in this vital time. We have to make sure that we are intentional with who we vote for. We have to understand how this process works in order to be effective. We have to make sure that we are electing true people that are going to be for the people in office. And not only that, but we have to hold our own selves accountable and not just look to these elected officials to solve our issues. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take a village. But the more that we continue to fight and carry on these social media platforms, the more that we're not going to be able to solve problems. We are dealing with bills and addressing bills that no one asked for when we are literally in a housing crisis where people's rent have increased astronomically and they don't know where they're going to go. We have issues with climate where Florida is in a climate crisis. I don't know if you know that, but there is a Google. There is a Bing. There's a Yahoo. There's search engines out here that you can search for information and find out. You can do research. And a lot of people have their degrees at the University of Google and University of YouTube. Let's use that for good. And let's post real information, factual information, and be intentional, because enough is enough. So I do want to close you with this quote. And this quote is actually from Albert Einstein. And I'm just going to put it up on the screen too. But the quote is, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything." So my challenge to you is to speak life, say something, do something, and not have selective outrage and participation on what's happening in our country and our state and right in your own community. Enough is enough. It's been enough. And we keep moving backwards because we are not being intentional. But I have hope. And I have faith that the 22 election will be different. We will have candidates that are brand new, with new walks of life, with experience and the expertise to be accountable, transparent, and operate with integrity. That's all we can ever ask for. And so my challenge to you is to operate in those three principles too. So I'm on my way to Tallahassee. I'm about to make some good trouble. I'm going to be right there at the Senate with my flag and everything else because I am tired of the games that these people play. In the meantime, y'all need to think about how you can serve and how you can help our world. So that is something for you to reflect on. Until next time, I love y'all. Again, I just want to just uplift that Safe Space is out here, folks. It's been a month since Safe Space has launched. And I just want to say the feedback that I've received on Safe Space has been outstanding. Thank you for streaming it. Thank you for listening to the vibes. It's time that we change the frequency around here because the music that is out here is a whole nother topic for another day. But we have to be accountable. We have to be transparent. Until next time, peace.
Let's get it. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. You better get your receipts on them. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. And if you gon' always